In the springtime, the frequent rain showers serve several purposes, one of which is to clean off the dirt and the grime of winter. Maybe on the streets, might be on a walkway, even the lawns get washed off, cleaned by the rain showers. As a matter of fact, the first few really heavy, hard rain showers in springtime, I enjoy seeing them for just that, this purpose. Gets rid of all of that winter dirt and grime. Well, that causes me to think about spiritual cleansing that we experience in our salvation and in the following Christian development. Now, that means Christian growth. But I use the term development because I think it gives us gives me a better grip on the idea that as a Christian, I need to be going from here to here. And then it isn't always in a straight line. Sometimes in my Christian development, I'll go from here to here to here to here. You say, what's this when it's sideways? You say, that doesn't sound like growth if you're going sideways. No, look, there's something over here in my life that needs to be dealt with.
Yep.
And so God's taking it here, here, and over here, and then over there, and then over there, and then back there. You say, well, it's the back. What do you mean God takes you back? Well, there's something I apparently regressed in. And so he's got to take me back to it and deal with that again so that he can take me forward some more. So that's why I use the term development. That might not work that way in your mind, but remember I do like Pepsi-flavored peep, so you can understand maybe why I would describe things in the manner that I did. Turn to Ephesians, please. Ephesians, I apologize for needing to clear my throat so much. Ephesians chapter 5. Now, the book of Ephesians in chapter 5 is a chapter that is often turn to when it comes to dealing with husband-wife relationships. Understandably so, because beginning at verse 22, he talks about wives submitting themselves to their husbands. Oh, you know, there isn't a man, a Christian man, that I know that doesn't know about verse 22. They can say that one, you know. They know that one. Wives, submit yourself to your own husbands as unto the Lord. And they're not too big or keen on verse 25 that says, husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church. Oh, they're big on submit, woman. Okay, but they're a little light on the loving as Christ did, because he did it in a sacrificial way. That means instead of getting a drill, okay, they got a mixer. Some of you will remember the experience in my life, because when I was doing a lot of the work of my car myself, I was tool deprived. And whenever I was gluing something on the car and I needed a tool, I'd just go buy it. And one time, Pat said to me, how come when you need a tool, you just go get it? Well, I'm saving us money. Do you know how much it would cost to take the car to the garage? And by my doing it, but I need this tool to do it. And she said something to the effect, well, I work in the kitchen making your meals, and I've needed a mixer for 3 or 4 years. Yeah. She rightly put me in my place. Now, let me tell you, those of you that know her know that she didn't do it in a bad way. She didn't do it with a bad attitude. She didn't do it with a cutting tongue or any meanness in her heart at all. Oh, it's easy for us men to say, well, yeah, my wife, she's in my corner. She wants what's good for me. But then when she goes ahead and says something or does something that is for our good, that's when, women, you're supposed to submit. Get it straightened out, man. You can't have it both ways. Okay? You can't have it both ways. But actually, this passage of Scripture in Ephesians 5, the parts that we look at that talk about husband-wife relationship, it's actually a double-themed passage. Okay? It is talking about husband-wife relationships. It is telling us how things ought to be, but it's also talking about the church. Look at verse 25. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the what? What's the next word?
Church.
And gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Then he goes on, so ought men to love their wives, even as their own bodies. And so, you see, the subject, the double subject, is the husband-wife relationship and the church. And I've had people ask me, well, which is the primary subject? They're both primary. They're both important. God has the ability to accomplish emphasizing both of them. Not one to the supremacy of the other, but each to its own place and significance. And here it is. He says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. Now we make the shift to the teaching on the church. The church, and gave himself for it. What's the it? The it is the church. That he might sanctify and cleanse it. What? That's the church. With the, here it is, washing of water by the word. The rain of springtime washes the dirt and grime of winter away. And so the washing of the water of the word cleanses us so that we're saved by grace through faith, and we grow, we develop by the washing of the water of the word. The word of God needs to wash away the dirt and grime of our lives. We have it. It's almost like we are a magnet. And we're out there in the workaday world doing what we do, and the dirt just sort of, you know, clings to us. Oh, not the literal dirt that you sweep up in a dustpan. But the things, the thoughts, the actions of the world is the terminology that we use. It's there. You may not want it. You may desire to avoid it. But you can't help but be subjected to it. You know, the standard illustration of it is it's lunchtime. Everybody sits down, and they used to open a lunch pail. Now they just open their McDonald's bag. But they open whatever it is they're having for lunch, and they sit around, and then one guy tells a joke, and another guy tells a joke, and then the jokes begin to go downhill, and there you sit. You have no desire to be there. And what ought to happen is we ought to get up and walk away. But you may have the same courage that I had. Yeah. And so you start out by just not laughing. Everybody's having a good gut belly laugh over that last joke, and you just don't laugh. You sit there. And then somebody says, what's the matter? Don't you like that one? That a little dirty for you, Roger? Yeah, you clear your throat. And you hope somebody else is going to speak up. No, that's the time to have courage to stand up.
Amen.
Okay, right. Courage to stand up. Now, I don't know. I'm just giving you one illustration. And I'm sure you could give me illustrations that far exceed others, but I gathered that one came close enough to letting everybody know how it is that the dirt of the world just seems to cling to us and draw to us. And because that happens, people like to come to church on a Wednesday night so they can sort of get cleaned up. But listen to me. What if you can't go to church Wednesday night? You know, it ought to be the Lord and your relationship with Him that's cleaning you up and not walking in a door. You could get cleansed on Tuesday night.
Amen.
Because it's the Lord that does the cleansing.
Amen. That's right.
That He might sanctify and cleanse it, the church. The church, that's the body of Christ. That's not this building. That's not even just this congregation. Because in a group this size, there's liable to be some goats as well as sheep. And therefore, when it says there, the church, it's talking about the body of Christ. Now, I know I'm saved. I know Sam gave testimony. Peter gave testimony. Tim gave testimony. Amy and Dale give testimony. And certainly Pastor and Sister Ruth Ann have given testimony. We know they're part of the church. Are you part of the church? Are you part of the body of Christ? That He might sanctify and cleanse it. We got to be cleansed from that dirt that's there with the washing of the water by the word. Why is all this taking place? Verse 27. That He might present it. What's it? It's the church. It's the body. That He might present it to Himself. He wants it to be a glorious church. Glorious church. He doesn't want it to be mediocre. He doesn't want it to be just good enough. He wants it to be glorious. And in order for that to happen, He says it can't have any spot or wrinkle. He wants to present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. He doesn't want anything there. Boy, when you know how life is, when you know the struggle of life, when you know what it's, you know, the reality of it, I honestly think that when we hear the trump, okay, the trumpet sound, and we start going up, we're going to have to get rid of that last one thing, okay, because we're supposed to be a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. Not almost clean, not sort of clean, but He says not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. No wonder we need to be certain to be walking with the Lord consistently, constantly. These matters that Brother McVeigh has been preaching on are needed. They're needed. And I understand that there's many in the church that they're not guilty of adulteries. They're not guilty of fornications. But boy, you get on down that list a little longer and things get a little touchier, don't they, huh? Yeah. You know, people who've been around such meetings as long as I have, they begin to know they better not start amening too much to begin with. Because eventually this thing is going to get to a point where they're going to have to be quiet and everybody's going to notice it. So I'll just sit and contemplate this great truth, okay? Lest I commit myself. That He might present it, the church, that's us, to Himself. holy and without blemish. Then he goes on and he says in verse 28, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. So now he's back on the husband-wife relationship thing. And so he's got this double meaning, please, double emphasis in this chapter. And God's able to do that. And the Apostle Paul was a great man to be able to present and to express and teach these kind of truths because of his own abilities. And so Ephesians 5 is a chapter that we need to remember and to be aware of. Now, there are other scriptures, and we'll look at some of them other scriptures. Tonight, one more is 1 John. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, where John writes, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, here it is, cleanses us from all sin. We need cleansing. That dirt of the world needs to be washed away. And he says in verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, and there are people, professed Christians, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. People have been able to convince themselves that they don't sin. It's just mistakes. Now listen, in life, not every mistake is a sin, okay? but every sin is a mistake, okay? And so I don't want you to think just, you know, because you failed in doing something that you sinned. No, sin is sin. It's a transgression of God's law. It's a breaking of God's word. And when God says something that we ought to be heeding and obeying and believing, and then we don't do that, that's sin. If we say that we have no sin, though, however, if we say that everything's just so fine in my life, and I'm here every time the doors are open, and I love to sing, and I love to do things, I volunteer all the times for things, and praise God, I don't have any sin in my life. No, the truth isn't in you either. Yeah. Verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, because now he deals with people who will acknowledge their sin in their life. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to do what? Forgive us our sins. And to, here it is again, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The end of verse 7 talked about the cleansing us from all sin. Now here again in verse 9, he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Verse 10, he puts 10 and 8 on either side of if we confess our sin and the acknowledgement of sin. Verse 10 says, if we say that we have not sinned, now we don't just simply deny that we have sinned. We are not simply showing a self-righteous attitude, but it's a lot worse than that. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. To make God Almighty, Jesus Christ, if when I say I don't sin, this is just a mistake, this is just an error, this is just a weakness, but it's not a sin. I'm saying God is a liar. And then he goes on and he makes it very clear, his word is not in us. His word is not in us. And the Gospel of John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Jesus is the Word, and his Word, that's Jesus, is not in us when we say that we have not sinned. Just admit it. Sin is sin. Just admit it. It's not just a weakness on your part. Well, it is a weakness in that you keep doing it. But it's worse than just a weakness. It is a transgression of God's law, God's word, God's truth. We need cleansing. I have more to say, and I'll say more because we have more prayer meetings to come. Unless the trumpet should sound. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. And the dead in Christ rise first. And then we who are alive and remain will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. But until that time, let's get cleansed. Okay? So we can do what God wants. Father in heaven, I pray that you would indeed take us through these scriptures. Teach us each one. There's things in these scriptures that I need. And they may be different, dear Lord, than what another person that's hearing them and reading them needs. But you know, Father, what each of us need, and that is what I pray for. In Christ's name, amen.